It's been a while since I've ministered to you. Of course, I always minister to you when I get up here, don't I? God laid something on my heart, actually correcting me. This message I'm going to share with you today, it was something that he started dealing with me about. But before I get into that, let's pray and you add your faith to mine. You know, when we all add our faith together and we sort of make a demand on the anointing and the word of God that's on the inside of a person, you know, it just makes it easier for that person to have utterance in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, Father, as we do come together, we come together and join our hearts together this morning. We join our faith together, Father. And we know that our faith can move mountains. Our faith can open doors. Our faith can cause the impossible to be done. So, Father, we're asking you today that our faith will cause the Word of God to come forth unhindered, accurately, that you'll give me utterance in the Holy Ghost. You'll give me utterance, Father God, to bring forth revelation knowledge. And I thank you, Father God, for that. And Father, I ask that you'll do in these people what you did in my heart, that it'll be a deep work within their heart as it was in my heart. So we give you praise and glory and honor for that. Amen. Amen. And you know, I used to get up here and say this a lot, and I'm going to say it this morning. I give honor to the name of Jesus this morning. The name that's above every name. The name that was given to us. The name that will cause every knee to bow. I give honor to the blood of Jesus that was poured out to wash away all my sins. I give honor to the word of God that is powerful, is sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God that will bring life and health and healing to all my flesh. So we give honor to the name, the blood, and the word of God in this house today. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, this is what I want to share with you. God started dealing with me about this months ago. I think it was actually around the 1st of January. He started correcting me in some areas. It started showing me that I had not given enough honor and respect. There's other words I guess I could use, to the gifting inside of me, to the gift that God put inside of me. Some people, you may call it a talent, but I call it a gift that's inside of me. That I had not given respect or honor, thankfulness to the touch of God, the anointing on my life. That is for other people, to share with other people. I had done that for years, but I'd let some things wane, and I let some things slip. So when Pastor Todd started talking about alignment for your assignment, and how we need to get in alignment for the assignment that God has given us in the earth, that he's given each of us a gifting, a talent, an ability, in spite of our circumstances, in spite of all the things that have ever happened to us. Because I would have never picked me to stand on a platform if I'd have been God. I would have never picked me. I'd have picked someone else. You know, years ago, those have been with us for years. You know, I get up here, I mispronounce words, and I do this and that. But in spite of all that, God would move, wouldn't he? God would just honor just that childlike faith that would just childlike faith that it didn't matter what. I was just wanted to be a vessel because him who has been forgiven much loves much. So I love God so much. But I'd let some things wane in that area that are just casual, you know, casual about it. But it's a heavenly calling. Paul says, it's the heavenly calling that we take up. So it's a heavenly calling that we have as a corporate body. It's a heavenly calling that we have individually. So I began to, God just began to call my attention to that. And so I pray today that the Lord will call your attention to that. If that's something that you've let wane or lay dormant on this inside of you. Why? Because it gives honor to God. When we recognize and we allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, use our lips, use our hands, use our feet, use us as a vessel in the earth. Well, everything that we say, according to the will and purpose of God, we can cause things to change. We can cause things to move along. We can cause the church to be a church without spot or wrinkle for the coming of the Lord. So this is the scripture that I want to start out with. And it's 2 Samuel 2. And I'm starting at verse 27. I'm going to read it on the Message. And then I'm going to have them pull it up out of the New Living Bible. And we're going to read that. And that'll be our base scripture. A holy man came to Eli and said, "This is God's message. I revealed myself openly to your ancestors when they were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. Then he blew the ram's horn trumpet, and the whole army of Judah stopped in its tracks. They quit chasing Israel and called off the fighting." Just keep going. "Abner and his soldiers marched all that night up the valley. They crossed the Jordan, and after a long morning's march, arrived at Mahanaim. After Joab returned from chasing Abner, he took a head count of the army." I don't think this is the right scripture. It's 1 Samuel. I kept reading that like this. It's 1 Samuel. Did I say 2 Samuel? I'm sorry. I wrote it down for him, and then I gave him the wrong scripture. It's 1 Samuel. I thought, that's not what I want to say. I'd have practiced saying all those words. I would have practiced saying those. And I said, I would have practiced those hard words. Let me just turn there. It's 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27, out of the Message. Okay? That was my fault. I apologize. I gave them the scripture, and then I told them wrong. I wrote it down and gave them a list. Okay. It's not up there. That's all right. We bind the hindrances in Jesus' name, right? Well, I hope I have the right scripture now. I don't know if this is right either. 1 Samuel 2. Let me read it out of here. Let me just read it. I have it right here. "A holy man came to Eli and said, 'This is God's message.'" This is the Message Bible. "I revealed myself openly to your ancestors when they were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. Out of all the tribes of Israel, I chose your family to be my priests, to preside at the altar, to burn incense, to wear the priestly robes in my presence. I put your ancestral family in charge of all the sacrificial offerings of Israel. So why do you now treat as mere loot these very sacrificial offerings and that I commanded for my worship? Why do you treat your sons better than me, turning them loose to get fat on these offerings and ignoring me? Therefore, this is God's word, the God of Israel speaking. I once said that you and your ancestral family would be my priest indefinitely, but now, God's word, remember, there is no way this can continue. I honor those who honor me." And it says, "Those who scorn me, I demean." But God, that's a, you know, causative. He doesn't demean us. It's our actions that will demean us. But he says, "I honor those that honor me." Now I'm going to read that out of the New Living Bible. "One day a man of God came to Eli and gave him this message from the Lord. I revealed myself to your ancestors when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. I chose your ancestor Aaron from among all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer sacrifices on my altar, to burn incense, and to wear the priestly vest. As he served me, and I assigned the sacrificial offerings to you, priest. So why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you give your sons more honor than you give me? For you and they have become fat from the best offerings of my people Israel. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I promise that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priest, but I will honor those who honor me. I will honor those who honor me. So when I went, when God started dealing with me about not giving honor or giving place or giving respect to the gift and the anointing on the inside of me, I began to go and look up some scriptures. And as God began to deal with me about that, of course, I repented. I repented of that, and I asked God to forgive me. So, and as I did that, God, of course, forgave me. And I began to think about all the words that have come forth to me, to this church. I think a few months ago, maybe it was in prayer or something, we were up here, and God just called my attention. He said, you've not given enough attention and honor to the prophetic words that have come forth to this house. You're not really given enough attention and respect and honor to the words that I've given to even you individually. Prophetic words. Scriptures that have been given. You've not given enough honor and respect to that. It's just like casual. You heard it, and then you walked away, and you forgot what God said. And sometimes, you know, you're right. You know, I've always been really big on prophetic words, bringing them and reminding you of them and holding them before the Lord. But I sort of let that slip a little bit, you know. So he was dealing with me about that. It was casual and indifferent, like aloof. So I just began to think about that. So you know what God does? He'll do it with you if you'll tune in and pay attention to it. He seems to send me places that he can give me more information about that. So he sent us down to Sarasota, Florida, to Keith Moore's meeting. Never been to one of his meetings. We like him. We love his teaching. We listen to his teaching. Respect him. Just totally respect he and his wife and his ministry. But he said, God, like in the middle of the week, you need to go down to that meeting. You need to be in that meeting. It's so important to be in the meetings God wants you to be in. It's important to be around people of strong faith. It will help you. It will help you be around people of strong faith. It really will help you. So as we went, and you said, well, couldn't you watch that online? Couldn't you listen to it? Yes. But he said, I want you in that corporate anointing. Because there's something happens that'll cause the yokes and the burdens to be removed off of you. So as we went there, you know, y'all been there, over his scripture, real big, like up here, and but it says, I will honor those that honor me. That's the scripture. I will honor those that honor me. So I look up there and I see that. So, you know, God starts really talking to me, or dealing with me, I should say. And then things that he shared about honor just is what I needed to hear. So today I hope that what is shared, you need to hear. I believe we as the body of Christ need to hear. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 3. I think that's the scripture I want. And let's take a journey here and see how we can honor God, and maybe the Lord will reveal to us ways we haven't brought honor to God, and that may just be some hindrance to moving forward in your life. 3:1, Hebrews 3:1. So then, brethren, consecrated and set apart for God, who share in the heavenly calling, thoughtfully and attentively consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess as ours when we embrace the Christian faith. See how faithful he was to him who appointed him apostle and high priest, as Moses was also faithful to the whole house of God. What I wanted you to see was there's a heavenly calling. I used that a few minutes ago. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, since we're in Hebrews, verse 11. About being casual and being indifferent. Let's just read Hebrews 6 and verse 11. Hebrews 6:11. That may have been not what I wanted. Yeah, I think it is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me look at something. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that you're going to do a deep work in us. Amen. All right. Let's look at this. Because of faith, also Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child, even when she was long past the age for it, because she considered, Oh, I'm sorry. I read the wrong one. 6:11. For God is not, let's start at, yes, 11. But we do strongly and earnestly desire for each of you to show the same diligence and sincerity all the way through, in realizing and enjoying the full assurance and development of your hope until the end. Now listen to this in verse 12. This is really what I wanted to get to. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards. But he doesn't want us to become disinterested. But imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ, and absolute trust and confidence in his power. Now I want to stop right there. Do you feel like that would give honor to God if you stayed interested in what God was doing and wanting to do and what he had shown you? That if you put your entire personality on God and Christ and absolute trust and confidence in his power, his wisdom, his goodness, by practice of patient endurance and waiting, now inheriting the promises. He does not want us to come disinterested or indifferent to, you know, you sit in a service and you're like, you're indifferent to it. You don't give place to listening. You don't give attention to what's being said. You don't, your mind's wandering, or you're looking in your Bible, or you're doing this or that. Your attention is being drawn off on something else. He's saying, don't be disinterested. Don't be indifferent. Don't be indifferent to the Word of God. Don't be indifferent. When you do that, it's dishonoring his Word. It's dishonoring the vessel he sent. It's dishonoring the anointing of God. And when you do that, you're not going to receive anything from God. And then you leave, and I've done it. You leave and you go, well, I didn't get anything. God didn't do anything for me. Hallelujah. So if your heart's open, the Holy Spirit will show you. Amen? And it'll cause fruit to abound to your account. Praise God. James 1:21, starting at verse 21, it says, it tells us to value the word, receive the word. James 1:21. Hallelujah. There it is. So get rid of all uncleanliness and all that remains of wickedness, and with a humble spirit receive the word of God, which is implanted, actually rooted in your heart, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. So, but prove yourselves doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts. Obedience is a way that you can honor God. And not merely listeners, who hear the word but fail to internalize its meaning, deluding yourselves. See, if you do that, you delude yourself by unsound reasoning contrary to the truth. Verse 23. If anyone only listens to the word without obeying it. Doing what? Obeying it. Do you feel like obeying the word? You know what faith is? It's just trust and confidence in God. God, I trust you. I honor you because I'm going to hear your word. And whatever I hear you say do, I'm going to do it. Because I know that that is honoring you. If your children, if you tell them what to do, or tell them to do something, I should phrase it like that. If you ask them to do something, and they turn around and say no, or they just flippantly go away, and they just don't pay any attention to what you're saying or asking them to do, is that honor? Is that dishonor? That's dishonor. So God, our Heavenly Father, we've just been casual. He showed me. I can talk about me. Casual about this. You read the word and you go away, or you hear the word and God brings the word to you, or he gives you a personal word and you go away and you forget about it. You don't even write it down. You don't give any place to it. You don't give any attention to it. This is what he was dealing with me about. You don't give any attention to it. He said, that's dishonoring me. That's disrespectful. So if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, he is like a man who looks very carefully at his natural face in a mirror. Let's look at verse 24. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looked like. So we look at the word, we hear the word of God, we hear the words of prophecy, and then we go away or we go home or somebody prays for us and says, you know, the anointing of God is going in you. They give you a word. You go away and go, oh, praise God. I didn't feel anything. I didn't receive anything. That is disrespectful to God. That is dishonoring God and his word. This is strong. I know y'all aren't real jump. Y'all look for me to do up and down, jumping up and down, yelling sermons. That this is a heart issue. Honor comes from the heart. It really is hard to teach. You can teach it, but it's a heart matter. It's a matter of the heart. So when God starts sharing those things with us, there's a purpose in it. When God started sharing that with me, I went, I see it. And not that I have full revelation of it, but I'm on my way. So I know that worship honors God. Giving honors God. You honor God, Proverbs 3. You know, you honor him with the first fruits. I know that worship honors God. Giving honors God. We honor God in many ways. And honoring God, to me, is simply saying, God, I trust you. I love you. I worship you. No matter if I can see it, I can feel it, or if I can taste it. I walk by sight. I mean, I walk by faith and not by sight. You know, when I first got saved in 1975, June of 1975, and I heard Brother Keith Moore say something to this effect, and it really made me think about some things. And I gotta get water. Made me think about some things. And he said, you know, he said when I was working, he was working with Brother Hagin. No, before he was working with Brother Hagin, he said, you know, Phyllis and I got a hold of some tapes by Brother Copeland and Brother Hagin. And I thought about me, how when I got saved and I got a hold of I went and sat in a weekly Bible study with Marie Griffin, and she started teaching me about the word of faith, about faith and how to believe God and how to hear God. And she began to teach us from Brother Hagin's books and Brother Copeland's books. And I was so excited about that because I took the word of God at face value. If the Bible said it, then it was so. And people would argue with me and say, but this. I said, no, that's what it says. It just says that. I was such a child. And I didn't know the Bible. And so I thought about that. So when I heard Brother Keith say, he said, you know, we got so excited about the word and we wanted to share it with our friends. Listen to this tape. Listen to this. Back then it was tapes. Listen to this tape. Listen to this CD, you know. Listen to this person. And he'd go back and say, did you hear that? Did you listen to it? No, we didn't have time to listen to it. Go back later. Did you listen to it? Well, we heard a little bit, but that's not really for us. We don't really like that or something. And he made a statement, and God began to reveal to me why I'm as far along as I am, I believe, and why I'm as blessed as I am. There's people much more blessed than me, but why I'm blessed and why he rescued me and my family. And I heard him say, because he valued. He put much honor and value on the word that he heard, that it changed his life. It brought him out. They were living in a little trailer in Mississippi, right? In Mississippi, deep in debt, had nothing, and how they just started giving value, putting value on the word. Much value. How much value do we put on the word? Think. I'm letting you think. How much value do you put on this Bible? How much value do you put on the word of God? How much value do we put on having a place that we can come and hear the word and worship? So I began to think about my own life, and I thought, I put a lot of value on the word. I couldn't get enough of it. I just couldn't get enough of it. I was like a woman in a desert that was dying of thirst or something. I just couldn't get enough of it. But I put a lot of value on it. I didn't know that was what I was doing, but I put a lot of value, a lot of stock, you know, and in the Word of God and in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And I gave honor to it. I didn't know I was given honor to it, but I was given honor to that Word, and I was given honor to the words that were spoken to me. So I'd write them down. And that's the difference in my life as maybe somebody else's life. So you ask yourself, how much honor and value am I placing on the Word of God? The Bible, the written Word of God, and the blood of Jesus that saved us. In the name of Jesus. So when I get up here and I say I give honor to the blood. You know, I did it because it was in my heart to say it for months and months and months, you know. When I'd open it up. But I didn't have the full revelation. And I'm not saying I have the full revelation of it now. But I just knew inside of me. I love much because he's forgiven much. There's many of you sitting out there, he's forgiven you for more than what he's forgiven me for, but who's keeping records? God's sure not keeping records, right? So in that, I heard Brother Keith say that a few weeks ago when we were at the meeting. I sat there and I said, I need to hear this. That's why you sent me. I need to hear this. You know, I need to hear this. There's something you're working in me to align me with my assignment. There's something you're working deep in me that there needs to be an increase of anointing in me. There needs to be an increase of honor to your word and to your presence. It's working in me. So I had to be there. See, you can't put a price on things like that. You have to be where God says be. Are you hearing me? Just makes you think, right? It did me. So how much value do we give the word? God sent... Praise God. I thought about Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham, they gave great honor to a man of God this past week. They gave great honor to Billy Graham. He deserved the honor for what he's done, right? You know, and we honor, you may not like the president, but I'm telling you, you'll get a lot further in life if you respect and give honor to the office of the president and the vice president. And those in authority over us, to your pastors, to all those in authority over us. If you will give respect and honor to the place, or you could say the seat of authority they've been given. Because Jesus was given a seat of authority. He was given glory and honor by his Father. And he raised us up in that same seat to sit with Jesus in heavenly places. A seat of honor. Hallelujah. So we may not like who's in that office, but I tell you what, God's really corrected me. I just pray that God puts a watch over his mouth. And praise the Lord. Mark 6. Let's go to Mark 6 and start at verse 1 in the Amplified. God's talking to you, right? You know, I see things a little bit different sometimes after the Lord told me what I do, I must do quickly. And when he told me that, that he's coming soon. In verse 6, Mark 6, Jesus went away from there. You know, he went to his own country. His disciples, it says, followed him in verse 1. In verse 2, it says, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many people were listening to him. They were astonished by his sayings. And they said, what did this man, where did he acquire all this knowledge? You know, that's what they were saying. What is the wisdom, the broad and full intelligence which has been given to him? What mighty works and expeditions of power are wrought by his hands? In other words, we don't understand this because he is just a carpenter's son. You know, how could this be? He's just a carpenter's son. You could say that about people probably say that about me. So he said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James and Jonas and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here among us? I mean, it's almost like, look at this family. How can God use this man? And they took, listen to this, this is so important. And they took offense at him and were hurt. That is, they disapproved of him, and it hindered them from acknowledging his authority, and they were caused to stumble and fall. I am telling you, this is happening in the church today. You see, it's not easy to separate the man or the woman from the calling and the anointing on their life. It's not. Well, it's not been that hard for Rob and I, but it is hard for some people. When you see them, you know, with the hat, you don't see them up here. You just see their humanness. And some people see the humanness, like they saw Jesus' humanness. Like, look at his family. Look at his mother, his sisters. Look at him. How can he do all these things? And it hindered their faith. It hindered them from receiving from them, and it caused them to stumble, and it caused them to fall. Listen, church, don't do this. It will cause you to stumble, and it will cause you to fall, and you will not receive the fullness of what God is wanting to do in your life and for you. It hindered them. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, reverence, except in his own country. And among his own relatives and in his own house. And this is what happened. Read verse 5. And he was not able to do even one work, not one work of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sickly people and cured them. their unbelief, their disrespect, their dishonor, their not accepting of who he really was hindered him from doing what he could have done. And the same thing's going on today. And he marveled because of their unbelief, verse 6, their lack of faith in him. And he went about among the surrounding villages and continued teaching. So he went, he had to go. He went other places and began to teach. Now look at Luke 4. I'll give you a few scriptures here. You can just... Luke 4. So this, remember that, what we just read? So then in Luke 4, beginning at verse 15, this is talking about Jesus. He conducted a course of teachings in their synagogues, being recognized and honored. Being what? Honored and praised by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. See, that's his hometown. And he entered the synagogue, as was his custom on the Sabbath day, and he stood up there, and he was handed the book of the prophet of Isaiah. And he found the place where it was written. And this is what Jesus did. He stood up and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He sent me to announce the release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind." He's standing up and telling them what he's anointed to do. "To send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, broken down by calamity. To proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and free favors of God profusely abound." Then he rolled up the book, gave it back to its attendant, sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were gazing, they were looking at him. And he began to speak to them. In verse 23, he began to speak to them. "You will doubtless quote to me this proverb," he said. This is what you're going to quote to me. "Physician," he said, "you're probably going to say this to me. Physician, heal yourself. What we have learned by hearsay that you did in Capernaum, do here also in your own town." Other words, just show us. You stood up and you said that you're anointed. You stood up and you said this. Okay, let's see. Then he said, in verse 24, "I say to you, no prophet is acceptable and welcome in his own town country. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were closed up for 3 years and 6 months, so that there came a great famine over the land. But yet, Elijah was not sent to a single one of them, but only to Zarephath in the county, or the country of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. He was sent to her." And if we'll look at first, you can find that in 1 Kings, how he went to her. She recognized him. She honored him. She obeyed what he told her to do. And she received her miracle because she gave honor. "And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and yet not one of them was cleansed by being healed, but only Naaman." It's because he was obedient. Let's look at that. Let's just look at that. Is this okay? 1 Kings 17, 1. Let's look at 1 Kings 17 and start at verse 8. First Kings 17 and verse 8. It says, "After a while, the brook dried up." Is that right? Yeah, let's go to 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. "And the word of the Lord came to him, told him to go to Zarephath," just what we read. This is what Jesus is telling them. He said, "Let me tell you a story." That's what he's saying to them. "Let me just tell you this. Let me show you something that happened here," because they believed the word. "Which he belongs to Sidon and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he rose up and he went to that widow. That's what he did. I'm just skipping down. "And as he was going to get it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.' And she said, 'And the Lord your God lives, I have not a loaf baked, but only a handful of meal in the jar and a little oil in the bottle. And so what happened was, Elijah, in verse 13, Elijah said to her, "Fear not, go and do as you have said, but make me a cake." And he made her cake. Most of you know this, so I can save time here. And God provided a meal for her and her sons because she was obedient and she believed the word of the prophet. So the point that Jesus was making to them was, if you believe the word that I just stood up and said that I am anointed, if you believe that, then the same thing can happen to you that happened here to this widow woman. That's what he's trying to get across to them. And the other thing he was trying to get across to them was about the leper. That, you know, he said, look at this, look what happened. But you're not believing and you're not hearing. But we're believing and we're hearing, right? Amen? Yes. Amen. You know, let me tell you this story because I don't have time to do all the other scriptures so much. But I've, you know, y'all know Miss Brownie, my friend Brownie. So I would watch Brownie because Brownie has so much... Brownie has so much respect and so much, she gives so much honor to God. And all through the years that God's so good, he places me and gives me friends that are smarter than me. He really does. He really does. He gives me friends. He puts me around people that are just smarter than me. They know more than me. And I like that. I want to be around people that are smarter than me. Who wants to be around somebody that, unless you can help them, you know? So I watched Brownie. And so a couple of things I can tell you about Brownie, about how she honors God. Every service she ever goes to, I've sat by her in many, 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 many years, many services. She always takes an offering. Always. I don't know how big or small. She says, you go before the King. You take a gift to the King. You go before the Lord. You honor him. You take a gift. When I go, usually, I've let up on it. This is things God's correcting me on. When I go to somebody's house, usually, if I go to visit or we fly to somebody's house, I usually try to take a gift. I don't always do a Judy, but sometimes I do. I take a gift, whether it's flowers or it's something. I don't know why. I don't know. I just like to do it, but I know that it's out of... I want to honor your home. So Brownie always does that. I mean, every service. Every service. And in their church, the church her son's pastor now, they bring the offering to the front every service. Families come up together. They just come up and they honor God with their offerings. God, we honor you. We bring this offering before you. We honor you and we worship you with this offering. You can do it right there sitting in your seat. We honor you and we worship. See, little things you don't think about that. Oh, honor? How would you, you know? And the other thing I can tell you about her is I hear her talking about having to do the books or help the girl now that does the books for their ministry. And she does books for some other ministries. She's real good at that. And for the church. And I hear her say things like, oh, no, no. We will not be one penny off. Oh, no. No, that's God's money. Oh, no. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just things like that about integrity and honor. Like, oh, no, this is, I mean, I hear her say things. I went, you know, so she's on the board of this church. I'm telling you, she's good. The woman is probably had a 4.0. I'm telling you, she's so smart. I don't know. Sometimes I just go, she just looks at me and laughs, so. Praise God. When I worked, and I'll tell you another story. When I worked for Miss Gloria Copeland, and I worked as her housekeeper and Brother Kenneth, God just did something in my heart about respect and honor too in that. And one thing he said to me, one day I was at the house, and I was fixing my hair, putting makeup on. I think I'd quit working in the mailroom out at a couple of ministries at that time, and the Lord, I heard it just as clear as I'm talking to you. It wasn't an out loud voice, but in here, he said, Gloria needs help, and I want you to go help her. And I'm listening. He said, I want you to be her housekeeper. And I said, God, I don't want to be her housekeeper. I don't want to be anybody's housekeeper. I had done that for others. But I said, for you, I'll do that. I'll do that for you. I did. I said, I'll do that for you. I didn't know I was giving honor to God by doing that, by being obedient. So when I would, when I was working there in the home 5 days a week, the Lord began to teach me some things about respect. And he said, Tricia, you have to learn how to serve before you can be served. And I needed to learn how to serve. I mean, I needed to learn really how to respect, because I didn't have a lot of respect for people at that time in my life for different reasons. And so anyway, that's just one story. I know I need to probably close this, but I wanted to tell you give you some examples so it will help you. And there's some other things I learned by there that I can look back and see how God was teaching me about honor that I needed to learn back there to get to the place I'm at now. See, all those things you learn, and God will use all the things that you've been through and all the things you've learned, good and bad, to bring you to the place you're at. Praise God. Another story. You want to hear another story? Okay. I remember this brother Keith telling this story. Y'all probably heard it many times. Said when they served, when Keith and Phyllis Moore served Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, and they used to travel with him and served him for 17, 19 years or something. He said one day they were in the kitchen and they were fixing a meal Phyllis was fixing a meal for Brother Hagin. And she had a tomato and you heard that? And she was cutting the tomato. And Brother Hagin says, no, that's not the way you cut that tomato. And he said, here's Phyllis. She's canned hundreds and hundreds of tomatoes, growing up in Mississippi on the farm, you know, put away tomatoes. And he said, she knew how to cut tomatoes. And he said, no. So he said, no, this is the way you cut the tomato. So the point is, that was Brother Hagin's tomato. And if he wanted it cut, like, however, then that's the way you cut it. So sometimes in the church, you think you have a better way, because I know how to do that. I've done that for years. But when you get your house or your church, you can do it your way. But when... I'm repeating what he said. I can... So one time with Gloria, she had a bowl or something. And so she'd walk by there, and when I dust, I turned this, I don't know what it was. It was a bowl. It was something. I'd turn it a certain way. She'd walk by, and she'd turn it back this way. Just funny. So one day she said, do you turn that? Whatever it was. I said, yeah. And she said, well, I like it that way. So... But some people, and my attitude wasn't quite right either. Now listen, at that time. But you know what? That was her bowl.
That's right.
That was her house. And she was paying me. But check your attitude, because your attitude would have been, well, I'm dusting. And I'm the one working. And I'm the one cleaning. So if you want your bowl turned, turn it that way. I'm telling you, that's how we do. People that work for you, Ron, it's like, no, I want it that way. I'm paying you. But it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things. So when God says something, or he has a minister up here going, oh God, I wish you'd shut up. Or oh, whatever. I'm telling you. I've done it. I mean, it's like, let's check our heart. Honor and respect is of the heart. You can't make people do it. It's of the heart. But let's give honor to the house of God. There's so much casualness that's come into the house of God because they don't care about the American flag. They don't stand up for that. They don't care about the president. They dishonor the government. They just destroy things. And it's coming to the church. We can't let it come into the church. Jeremy Pearson's at a meeting. I know I'm going over, aren't I? Okay. Jeremy Pearson's at a meeting a couple years ago. It was at a minister's conference in January. It was out at Eagle Mountain. And Jeremy Pearson's, he's Brother Copeland's grandson. So when he always has a session, and I'm telling you, if you've never heard him, he's probably one of the best speakers, ministers. So he got up to speak, and he does it with, bless his heart, but he started fear and trembling because he said, I'm preaching to generals. These are generals. And they are. There are generals in the body of Christ that we need to honor and respect. Brother Graham was a general. So he had on a suit and tie, and I noticed because he'd been wearing jeans and a shirt tail out or something, which that's, I'm not coming against it. Look at my husband today. But okay, because I know that's how Pastor Todd dresses. And it's, hey, but this, I'm making a point, but this day, he preached a message that had to do with, he titled it Honor, but Respect for his granddad, Brother Copeland, a different one. He said, see how I'm dressed? He said, I have a coat and tie on today. He said, but God dealt with me about this. I went and bought a brand new suit. He said, because God dealt with me about if my granddaddy's wearing a suit, he said, then I'm wearing a suit. And he said, it's just something. But he didn't do that again this year. I mean, he wore, I think, a sports coat or something. But it was something God dealt with him about just in his heart and in his maybe attitude. I don't know. But he said, I have a suit on because I want to bring honor to the generals. And then he began to speak to the generation, the younger generation, and say, you need to stop this, and you need to change this. Because you need to give honor to the generals. And you need to respect the house that you're in of whatever they like, you know, or whatever. Okay, I'm going to close. Just some stories that I thought about. Romans 4:18, I'm going to throw this scripture out. Abraham grew strong in faith, giving glory and honor to God. You could interchange that honor and glory. He grew strong in faith. And I believe I will grow strong in faith as I give honor to God and honor to the men and women of God and honor to the Word of God. That I know faith honors God. My faith goes up into the heavens, and my faith, my trust and confidence in God and His Word brings honor unto Him. Amen? And because it's not a mental thing, it's a heart issue. It seems like we have an honorless generation. You know, Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and your mother. Well, some fathers and mothers haven't given us anything to respect them for. In the natural, okay? I'm just saying. But I call it an office as far as the president. But we have to give honor to, I guess, the fact that they gave birth to us. We got to find something. Praise God. But 2 Timothy 3, let me do this. I'm going to close. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. You know, we have this honorless generation, and it's pretty sad. And that's what you're seeing in the streets. You're seeing no respect for a life. You're seeing no honor, no respect in the schools. So the church has got to rise up and began to make a difference and change some things. Amen? And he's talking about, understand this, in the last days there will come perilous times, great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Now let's look at verse 2. He says, for people will be lovers of self, utterly self-centered, lovers of money, aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud, arrogant, contemptuous, boasters. They will be abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truth or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate, loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. Haters of good. They'll be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and they'll be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. They give respect and honor to that than they do God. For although they hold a form of true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people and turn away from them. Praise God. So I don't have time to expound on that. Y'all have heard that preached. 2 Timothy 2:20 says that we are to be vessels of honor. In a great house, there's vessels of honor and dishonor, it says. But we can purge ourselves and we can be vessels of honor to bring glory and praise to Father God. Romans chapter 1, my last scripture, and I don't have a lot of time. It's a lot of scriptures here. But I thought about Romans 1, and it talks all about homosexuality. That's the scripture that talks about homosexuality. It talks about perversion and how they, and the reason why the people go into it. You want me to read it? Okay, I'm going to read it, and then I'll close. Romans chapter 1, in verse 18, and you can bring that up because I want them to see these scriptures. It would do you good to start at verse 1. About Romans chapter 1. But in verse 18, for God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from the heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Now this is before Jesus, you know, let me say it like this. Jesus brought grace. We don't live under law. I know that. We live under the mercy and the grace of forgiving power of Almighty God. I'll say that before I read this. Their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. They make it inoperative. For that which is known about God is evident to them, about these people, these ungodly people, and make plain in their inner conscience because God himself has shown it to them. For ever since the creation of the world was invisible, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible, clearly discernible, in and through the things that have been made, his handiwork. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification, because when they knew and recognized him as God, they did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks. Look how important this is, church. But instead, they became futile and godless in their thinking, with vain imaginings, foolish reasonings, stupid speculations, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Professing to be smart, they made simpletons of themselves. And by them, the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God were exchanged for and presented as images resembling mortal man and birds and beasts and reptiles. Therefore, God gave or he released them up to the lust of their own hearts, to sexual impurity, to the dishonoring, there it is, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, abandoning them to the degrading power of sin. The word says your body's not your own. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost that was bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Because, verse 25, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over and abandoned them to vile affections and degrading passions, for their women exchanged their natural function for an unnatural, abnormal one. Plain, right there. And the men also turned from natural relations with women and were set ablaze, burning out, consumed with lust for one another. Men committing shameful acts with men and suffering in their own bodies. Suffering in their own bodies. That's what brings about AIDS. That's what brings about diseases. They're suffering in their own. People say, why? God let that happen? Why? This is why. Here's your answer right here. With men suffering in their own bodies and personalities, the inevitable consequences and penalty of their wrongdoing and going astray, which was their fitting retribution. Thank God we live under grace. Thank God for a forgiving God. Thank God for God's mercy. Thank God our sins are washed away as far as the east is from the west. Those that come to the Lord and those that repent and those that ask God forgiveness. Verse 28, and so since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or approve of him or consider him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind to do things not proper or decent, but loathsome. Until they were filled with every kind of unrighteousness, iniquity, grasping, and covetous, greed, malice. They were full of envy, jealousy, murder, strife, deceit, treachery, ill will, cruel ways. They were secret backbiters, gossipers, slanderers, hateful to and hating God. They were hating God. Full of insolence, arrogance, boasting, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient, undutiful to parents. They were without understanding, conscienceless. Wow. And faithless, heartless, loveless, and merciful. Oh, Lord. This hurts me to read it. Though they are fully aware of God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them themselves, but approve and applaud others who practice them. Then it goes on to say, don't judge them. The way you judge, that judgment's going to come back on you if you keep on reading in chapter 2. I don't have time to do that. But if you keep on reading. So they dishonored God with their bodies. They dishonored God with their actions. So God is not going to go against your will. So I just wanted to read. I wanted to read that and tell you that it seems to be a honorless society. That the church is living in. And we as a church, God's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. He's coming back for a church on fire that's really in love with him and that honors him. So how can you honor God? You honor him by operating in faith, trust, and confidence in him. You honor him by giving attention to his word and to the words, that prophetic words that come forth to you and to the church. You honor him by giving unto him, by valuing, putting value on the word, putting value on the house of God, putting value on the gifting inside of you. So as I close, I want to say it's Pastor Todd's preached it, and I felt like it's getting us ready for the end time, that we have a gift on the inside of us, but we've been so casual about it. Like, I'm not going to use it. I don't care. I mean, yeah, I can do this or I can do that, or I know how to do this or I know how to do that, or, you have this little fault and, well, it doesn't matter. But it does matter. It does matter. We need to give respect and attention and thanksgiving for the good and perfect gifts that have come down from above, that God has placed in us and among us and other people. And respect and honor to the generals of the faith. There's a pendulum that's swung. Used to, it was too far out. People had them on a pedestal. Then it swung way over here. Oh, that's just Joe. That's just da-da-da. No, 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 no. I've watched people's lives that have had much honor and respect for generals and the generals of God, called out ministers of God. I've watched them. I've watched them. I've been around them. I've been around them. I've been in their homes. We've been to Jerry and Karen Savell's home many times. We've been in their homes. We've watched them. We listen. I listen and I watch. And I've watched how they treat others. And I watch how they treat and they honor. How Brother Jerry honors Brother Copeland and how this. I've watched it. It's not, they're not God. They don't put them, you understand. We don't do that. We don't believe that. But there's something about respect. Your children watch it. And what is important to them, I need those that God's hooked us up with. Why? What would make me give my resources to help make their dream and vision come to pass? Because I love and honor them. They brought me life. Beautiful are the feet of those that brought me the good news. Beautiful are the feet of those that brought deliverance unto me when I was in depression and where I had breakdowns and where I, all the stuff that I went through. Beautiful are the feet of those that brought me life, that told me how to get saved, that pulled me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. So there I'm going to stay. Beautiful are the feet of those. What? I would make what's important to them important to me and give up what I wanted to do or what I wanted to buy sometimes and make it happen, and knowing that God, that was a way I could honor God. Do you follow me? Do you hear me, church? There's something going on here. Let's honor the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's honor Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's honor the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary for you and me. Let's give much honor to whom honor is due. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's say this after me. Father God, forgive me. In areas that I have not brought honor to you. A purpose in my heart. I will honor you. I'll respect you. I'll respect your word. And I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to reveal to me. Show me. Areas that I can bring respect and honor to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all. I know I went a little long today. I don't know if I did or not, but but praise God. I hope you receive this and it helps you with, because it's all in alignment for the soon return of Jesus Christ. And I know with my life, God is lining me up for my, this isn't Mount and Rob's last assignment. We will always have this assignment as apostles of this church. But we have other assignments. Amen. And people that have need of us. That sounds so foreign to me when I say that. Who would, it's not me, but would have need of what God has placed inside of me. How dare that I see it as not valuable.